Good Saturday morning to you, everybody, and welcome to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show, along with Steve Glick, Chief Administrative Officer over at Chamber Insurance Trust. I'm Gary Byron. Glad to have you with us. Steve, how are you, my friend?
Great to see you live.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, I mean, for like the last month, you have been in Florida when we've done this show. You were calling in from Florida, and two things. Number one, you got one heck of a tan going. I'm very jealous. The other thing is you seem a lot more relaxed. I mean, you're relaxed to begin with, but you're even more chill today than in the past. It has that kind of vibe. It has that kind of effect on you down there, huh?
It does, until I come back to Connecticut.
Yeah.
But it gave me the support that I needed to move forward. I've been working all those weeks, and the collaboration of the people here in Connecticut and the things that we're doing are just wonderful. I thank all of them for their help.
A big difference, I would imagine, between the vibe in Florida and the vibe in Connecticut.
Well, again, the people feel freer, more loose. You know, a lot of the COVID issues are not issues there. You know, people are eating outside, example,
sure,
all the time. People just feel more relaxed, and the sun does do that to you.
How about the business climate down there? We talk about weather climate and COVID climate, which maybe are linked.
Their business climate is unbelievable.
Really?
People are there to spend money and conduct business. A lot of in the chamber world, I've had the chance to speak some people. Mm-hmm. They are doing so many wonderful things, and they're getting audiences, and which is a challenge for many chambers to get people to come to a meeting and be there physically. And Zoom is only can do so much. And Garrett can share that with you.
Sure. Well, since you mentioned his name, why don't you do the honor of introducing our guest this morning?
Well, one of the top, in my opinion, one of the top chambers in the state is the Greater New Haven Chamber. Garen Sheehan recently took over from a wonderful leader, but he is really very visionary and direct. And New Haven community has a great future with Garrett's leadership. And I welcome him to the show, and he can share a lot of the good things that he is doing. But he brings things down and lets people feel comfortable being part and active in his work. So, Garrett Sheehan, thank you for taking over the New Haven Chamber.
Garrett, good morning and welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Glad to be here. And, Steve referenced my predecessor. He'd been at the chamber for 17 years, and the chamber is on its 227th year. So even though I'm entering my fourth year of being at the chamber, I'm still a rookie.
Well, listen, I mean, life is a growing process. We're always learning, right?
It sure is. It sure is. But, always a real honor to be a part of an organization like this that has such a storied history. And, Steve has been a part of that with the chamber and the insurance programs that he brought to the chamber and the entire chamber world many years ago, first through New Haven, have been significant. And constantly evolving with it and providing resources to businesses that need it.
Talk to me a little bit about the businesses in New Haven. Everybody just, when they associate businesses in New Haven, they automatically think pizza, right? So there's got to be more to New Haven businesses and restaurants other than the renowned pizza restaurants that you have there. What's the climate like in New Haven?
Oh, you're right. Pizza is a big part of it, for sure, but there is much more to the story as well. We have lots of great pizza restaurants. Encourage people to come to New Haven and enjoy them right now, especially as things start to get better. Overall, we're seeing a lot of activity pick up in New Haven. People are back on the streets, driving in. I just drove into the city, and there's traffic coming into New Haven. So things that maybe in the traffic. Now it's exciting to see that type of activity return to New Haven and to our surrounding area as well. It's going to take a lot more. We're definitely by no means there on an economic standpoint yet.
Sure.
I think if you go across any businesses, you'll still see that their revenues, especially if they're in the restaurant, hospitality sector, retail, revenues are not back to where they were. So it's going to take a lot of work. We're going to need a lot of more people to start using our downtowns again, come back to the cities. But we're starting to see that progress, and so it's encouraging that we could be seeing the light here.
Well, you say it's coming back. What will it take? What do you think? Is it just a matter of time for it to come back, or I'm trying to understand a little bit better with what do you think it will take for New Haven to be the thriving mecca of that it was? Is it just a matter of time, or is it consumer confidence that we're waiting for?
It's a few things, Gary. It's first, yeah, we need consumer confidence. We've promoted just as a chamber, you know, come back to downtown, come back to other business centers within New Haven and also in our surrounding towns. But to be honest with you, I think the vaccine is our most direct path to getting people to be able to come back downtown. We have a lot of bioscience companies here in New Haven. Mm-hmm. Some of them involved in parts of working on COVID, different related issues. So it's an incredible scientific discovery that we have this vaccine, and it's out there, and it's been proven effective. So getting more people to take the vaccine, that's going to build that confidence. That's going to make people feel comfortable being out. It's also offices, to get people back into offices. But as I say, offices, I think the other side to getting people back to our cities is that it's going to be different no matter what occurs. People are looking at office spaces differently. They're by no means abandoning them. I think one thing that's come true is, you know, we do think that the office is an important place. It's just that we may not all be there at the same time, or people may utilize it in different ways. But starting to understand that and then improve our cities in ways that strengthen those new relationships with workers and how we get them here.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, New Haven had such a vibrant downtown vibe to it, you know, and I know you know what I speak of, because I mean you're the president of its Chamber of Commerce. But as a lot of cities, not just here in the state, but in our country, with more people working from home and the advent of Zoom meetings, we are learning that a lot of the cafes and luncheonettes and, I guess, ancillary businesses within the city are hurting because they were dependent. In fact, in Hartford, I can tell you that there were restaurants that closed at dinner. You know, if you can imagine that, that they would only be open for breakfast and they would do a heck of a lunch and then they'd close around 4 o'clock. But now, with fewer and fewer people coming into the city, how are some of these businesses, or when I say businesses, some of these restaurants able to survive in a post-COVID workplace or work climate?
A few different ways. I think over the last year, some of them have figured it out. I mean, I give just so much credit to our small business owners, especially restaurants. They were faced with such an impossible task a year ago. Looked like everything was bleak, and they found new ways to operate their businesses. So now you go to any restaurant anywhere in the state, anywhere in the country, really, they're much more adept to takeout and delivery and getting food to people in different ways. They've invested in their online e-commerce, how they do that, who they partner with to provide getting meals out to people. So it's been amazing to see and it's story of business, story of American business, faced with a challenge. How do you innovate? How do you adjust to it and find a way to carry forward? So there's definitely been that. There's other innovative ways people are using their space. Obviously, if you operate in a way of planning to have a lot of people in your dining facility, then you probably have a lot of space, and that's a huge cost driver for you, especially based on location. But there's just different ways that people have been able to utilize the space they have, maintain the social distancing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot of that hopefully will be going away in the near future. But I think the innovations and different ideas that people have come up with will still be here to stay. There's been great support from government, especially for restaurants. Hopefully, that's enough to get them through what is still a difficult time period. You know, if you go around, not everyone's back out to dining right now. We do have the warm weather coming. So, you know, there again, another great innovation, and that's been supported. I'll give the government, state, and local credit there of supporting outdoor dining, which has been wonderful thing, and I think is not going to go away. So it's a mix of taking the lessons learned over the last several months, the things that have enabled these businesses to make it through this period, building on those into the future, and then hopefully getting back some of the business that went away as it starts to come back.
You had mentioned government, so I'd be remiss if I didn't go there, since you've opened that door for me. Talk about the current legislative issues that impact some of the businesses in the city that you represent of New Haven.
Definitely. We're right in the middle of the legislative session. The committees have finished their work, and things are before the full legislature, so we'll see where we end up. Our theme as a chamber, and we're very focused on economic development for our region, not just for New Haven, but the 14 surrounding communities as well. Our focus has been we need to bring back business, bring back jobs. And when we get back into this legislative session that we are in now, we don't want to do things that dampen that effort to bring back business. I think in Connecticut, you can really say, I mean, despite all of just the horrible devastation that the pandemic has wrought, we do have a window of economic opportunity. We've had lots of people coming into the state. People have rediscovered Connecticut as a great place to be, especially when you're at home. There's so many things to do here. And I think the positive thoughts about Connecticut, especially just in how we've seemed to handle this pandemic, are really strong. We don't want to water those down with new costs for business, new regulations. So keeping the legislature focused, that we've had a lot of years of difficulty in retaining business in Connecticut. We've got this opportunity, you can call it a foothold, let's build upon it as opposed to going backwards. So there's things in the legislature right now around workforce development, that's a big issue. Even though we have so many people unemployed and reskilling is going to be important, also just getting jobs back that they can fill, we still have lots of jobs that are going unfilled because the talent or skills are not there. There's a gap between what our employers are looking for and what our workforce is trained on. So trying to bridge those gaps, especially as we get more and more people back into the workforce. I know the governor's done a lot of work in this area, and there's legislation pending there. From speaking with legislators, there's a lot of support to support workforce development. On the cost side, though, things that, out of the Labor Committee, we had some bills that would require employers to set scheduling 2-plus weeks in advance, and then if the schedule changes, the employer is penalized. Things like that really start to hurt business, especially our small businesses who need the support most right now. There is a talk of a public option. This would be health care. A lot more debate to go on about that. We all agree healthcare costs are high, and Steve obviously is right in the middle of that. But having the state government and essentially backstopping it with the state's general fund, which could just mean more costs for everyone, does not seem like the right angle, especially for a state that is the insurance capital of the world and that we want to continue to promote as an industry. There's a bill around drug pricing, which again, going back to the cost of drugs, no one wants to see price gouging. That is, even within the industry, that is frowned upon, and there's got to be some ways we can address that. But setting the state of Connecticut setting new caps on prices of drugs just seems to go against having an industry here that we're trying to grow in a bioscience industry. So it's things like that we're continuing to monitor. We do have the unemployment trust fund is in debt, as you can imagine, and as in many states because of the pandemic. But we do have a debt to the federal government. And so we've encouraged the governor and the legislature to use some of the stimulus money to pay down some of that debt, because otherwise that's going to end up being essentially a tax on businesses going forward for many years. Businesses pay into the unemployment trust fund, which is then the money that goes out to the unemployed during periods of time like this. The last thing I would just say, and I mentioned there, is stimulus funds. There is a lot of money that's come to the state of Connecticut, to our cities, our municipalities. It can make a big difference, but we do need to spend it in a way that advances Connecticut and sets us up for the future. We don't want to look back at this period of time and say, well, we got all that money in here, and we spent it on one-time things that didn't move us forward. And the last thing I do want to address on, too, as well, is we're having a big, long conversation about equity and diversity and inclusion, but really how we change the way that we view race in our nation, in our state. And so some of that does require investments and, you know, making sure that we're making those investments in all corners of the state, but especially those areas where there's been little investment and that really there is an opportunity. So those are all part of the conversation
Wow.
right now.
Yeah, and that's a pretty wide net there that you just cast. And if I understand this correctly, you're saying that the legislation before the House and Senate here in the state of Connecticut, it greatly affects the businesses, not only in New Haven, but, you know, businesses all over the Connecticut.
Yeah, a lot of it is monetary. You know, at the end of the day, that's a lot of what we're talking about. But it's also a perception. You know, are we working with business? Are we finding ways to support business? Or are we arbitrarily just passing more and more regulation? A lot of it not even, you know, in consultation with the business community. And that perception really drives a lot of things. That businesses outside of the state, how do they view Connecticut? Do people in Connecticut want to stay here, continue to expand their business? If they feel like there's a constant drumbeat of more regulation and costs, if they feel like the conversation is not friendly, well, obviously there's a certain amount of regulation that we all need for any industry, but there's different ways to get there, and having a conversation working with business is usually the best approach for us to attract and retain more of the jobs that we have here in the state.
We are speaking with Garrett Sheehan. He is the president of the Greater New Haven Chamber of Commerce. Did I hear you say somewhere in there that there is or could be employment issues when it comes to the city of New Haven? Is there? And correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you were saying that there's. There are more jobs than people, or is there more people than there are jobs right now?
Well, we definitely have right now more people than jobs. We're still, especially in the service industry, we lost so many positions.
True.
And there's still lots of people who are on unemployment. And, you know, that's obviously a very difficult situation if that's where you're at right now. But what we have seen, though, as well, is that we have positions open in different fields, whether it's bioscience, manufacturing. Hiring is not where it was a year and a half ago, but those positions are there, and it's going to continue to be an issue. This is an issue we had even before the pandemic, of just matching up talent and what are people trained on to the skills that are needed by the employer. And so that issue has not gone away. Yes, there's a lot of unemployment right now. We need to get those people back into jobs and, in some cases, you know, retrain to be able to meet some of the jobs of the future. But also, you know, filling the talent needs of our businesses is going to be critical for our economic growth. I mean, talent really is a competitive advantage for a state, a locality, if you have it, for economic growth. Businesses across the globe are looking for the best talent. Now, one other thing, you know, I shouldn't even expound on this because I don't know what it's going to be like, but, you know, another big change, obviously, is going to be how people view where they can get talent from in a virtual world. I've heard of some employers, you know, who now feel like they could hire anyone anywhere because they don't need that person to be necessarily in an office, so they can hire the most skilled person that they can find, even if that person lives in California. They could work for, let's say, a Connecticut company. I'm just saying a hypothetical here. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out as well. But there's definitely going to be lots of jobs here in Connecticut where you need to be at the workplace. We need people here in the state. And there's going to be new jobs, and making sure that the not only the new graduates, but the incumbent workers we have there are prepared and ready to take those on. At the Greater New Haven Chamber of Commerce, we've been working with the Governor's Workforce Council. This is something he stood up about 2 years ago, and one of the key tasks is working with industry to get the story together. What are the positions we're trying to fill, and what are the credentials, what are the qualifications that we need, and then speak with a singular voice so that we're talking to all of our workforce partners, our education partners, and everyone's clear on the positions and the skills that we're trying to get out there.
I worry a lot about, and I would imagine you do in New Haven, about commercial property. And to the point that you were just making, I mean, you can theoretically hire somebody out of state and their employer, you know, they could be living in Nevada and their employer is in Connecticut. And do particularly the buildings, you know, the buildings that are the tall buildings, the, you know, the that we have in New Haven and we have in Hartford and there are in Bridgeport and Stamford and so on and so forth. Will there even be a need? Will those buildings, those tall, I mean, we don't have skyscrapers in Connecticut, but, you know, but if you want to, it certainly relates to them in New York. I mean, and we saw what happened in New York throughout the COVID ordeal that we've lived through. It concerns me. Will we have these skyscrapers in these buildings that are so part of our landscape here in the state of Connecticut? You know, will there be a need for that when people go to work?
Yeah, I want to say yes. I think we'll find ways to utilize the buildings we have, and I don't think the office is going away. I mean, it's still really important to bring people together. We haven't had this situation at the chamber, but. I know, you know, employers who have hired people, but they've hired them directly into remote, and they've never met their colleagues. I think that's really challenging. As I just kind of think about that, and how do you make that work? So, you know, I don't see the office going away. There probably will be different purposes. Maybe people, maybe some businesses utilize a little bit less. Maybe some other businesses. Add a meetup space, so maybe it evens out. You know, very unclear what's going to happen there, and we're going to have to kind of monitor the situation as it goes forward. It probably will take the market a year or so to kind of absorb, you know, the changes, and really for businesses to figure out what works. I mean, we still have many businesses that have not had their employees come back yet.
Oh yeah,
and so they don't know what it's going to be like, and they don't know what that relationship and that situation is.
Well, Garrett, that being said, how are you able to attract new businesses to the Chamber of Commerce, as well as retain the businesses that New Haven already has for members?
Just like everyone else, we've gone very digital and virtual as well, and so for us, it's being an information source and a connection point. And maybe even it's needed more so in a virtual world that you have a place when you come to the chamber. The chamber is a platform, a community, and the staff at the chamber, we're super connectors. We're introducing people. We're bringing people together. We do a lot of other things too, public policy, economic development. But at its core, the chamber is about bringing people together, networking, finding new customers, finding new partners, just finding a support system and a community. So that community is still needed more so than ever. And some of the businesses we've had join the chamber have expressed that to us, that, you know, when you're working from home alone, now you do want to plug into something. You do want an opportunity. And we're getting back to in-person events, hopefully by June here.
Yeah, that would be nice. I want to bring back in Steve Glick, Chief Administrative Officer for Chamber Insurance Trust. When you hear this, what's the first thing that comes to your mind, Steve?
Well, again, the Chamber being a resource, there are needs that people need, and many people don't know where to go. But if they're a member of a Chamber, they learn about opportunities and things. And we're proud of, in 35 years, bringing resources of benefits to these people in so many different ways than just buying it off the street with a lot of limited knowledge, actually, really, and taking the price out of it and taking the concept as a more viable thing and for that company to prosper as a result of looking at what we do for them.
Talk about the relationship that you two have. How does Chamber Insurance and New Haven Chamber of Commerce, how was that relationship established?
Well, we've been born to it. but I go back to the beginning of the New Haven Chamber. They were responsible for bringing forth my program across the state and nationally known. A lot of great things. Garrett represents a whole series of leaders that believe in helping their community and helping their benefit, their business community. And we have taken on this history of that. there's a lot more that needs to be done, but unifying the business community is something very, very important. And there really are not that many places to go. The chamber has the history in the direction that people should really look to and answer, you know, their call. It's home for many people. It's the place where they can stand up and be themselves and share ideas with other business people.
Garrett, Steve is very complimentary. I only have 1 minute left, but he's very complimentary towards you in the New Haven Chamber in particular in your longevity. What is it about New Haven that really sets it apart? And I wish I had more time for that answer, but if you can just summarize that.
Well, it's a vibrant place. Obviously, we're 227 years, so we've had a business community here for a really long time that has supported it. Part of that is our location, but it's also the people that make this place. And, you know, and nowadays, what we talk about all the time is the talent. We have these universities here, six institutions of higher education, led off by Yale, but all really closely proximate to New Haven, which just adds that energy that's always here in the city.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I'd like to thank you, Garrett Sheehan, the president of the Greater New Haven Chamber of Commerce, for being with us this morning. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of Steve Glick, he is the Chief Administrative Officer for Chamber Insurance Trust. He's very easy to reach. He's got a toll-free number, 800-953-4467. Once again, Steve Glick over at Chamber Insurance Trust is toll-free, 800-953-4467. I would always recommend people to start off with the website. Very easy, too, www.citrust.com. Once again, CITRUST.com. For Steve Glick, he is the Chief Administrative Officer for Chamber Insurance Trust. I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to Flashpoint Healthcare Solutions Radio Show. Until next Saturday, have a good one, everybody. So long.